The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Pinchas. In Parashas Pinchas, near the end, we have what is known as the Parashas HaKorbonis, the descriptions of the various sacrifices that came during the various different times of the year. Now, it begins in Perekhov Ches, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'mata alehem, es korboni lachmi lishai reach nichechi tishmur lakri vi b'mayadoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, commanded Moshe to command the people that you should be careful to bring the sacrifices in their proper times. Now, the first sacrifice which is listed is V'amata lehem zehi isha asher takriv l'Hashem kvosim b'nei shanot mimim shnayim l'yayim eile somid. Is the what is known as the korban tomid. This was a sacrifice that came every day. Esakev esechot aseh v'beker v'esakev esashenita aseh b'in ha'boim. One sheep came in the morning, and the other sheep came, Bein Ha'aboyim, which is in the afternoon. And then together came a mincha, which was a meal offering, and also Niskei Revisahin, a liquid offering, a wine offering. This was the first set of sacrifices. Following that, it states of Yom HaShabbos, Shnei Chvosim B'nei Shonot Mimim. On Shabbos, you brought two sheep together with a meal offering, an appropriate meal offering for the two sheep, and together with a wine offering. Olas Shabbos b'Shabbatay al elas hatomid v'nishko. Now this pasuk tells us two important halachos. Ela Shabbos b'Shabbatay. Shabbos offering had to come each Shabbos in its proper Shabbos. Therefore, what does this teach us? So Rashi brings, what happens if you forgot to bring it on one Shabbos? Will you bring double the amount the following Shabbos to make up for it? So Talmud Leimer b'Shabbatay, Magid Shimovar Yumay, Botla Korboni. Now, it states, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbatay. You must bring the sacrifices of Shabbos in its proper time. Therefore, if you forget, or for some reason you do not bring on one Shabbos, then bottle korbone. Over you may bottle korbone. Once the day has passed, it's too late to make it up, and you cannot bring it the following Shabbos. Then we go to a third Seder Korbonis, to a third set. Oh, excuse me. I mentioned there were two halachas that we learned from this pasuk. The second halacha is it states, Eile Shabbos b'Shabbatay al Eiles hatomid v'nishko. What does it mean, al Eiles hatomid v'nishko? In addition to the Eiles hatomid. That means that Shabbos does not replace the daily sacrifice. But Shabbos is in addition to the daily sacrifice. So therefore on Shabbos you brought two sheep, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, the Olas Tovid, which came every day. Incidentally to that, there was no exception whatsoever. Every day it always came, whether it was during the Chol, during the week, during Shabbos, during Yantif. And then in addition, you brought Olas HaTovid V'nishko, the Olas Shabbos, the sacrifices of Shabbos. Therefore, the sacrifices of Shabbos were called Musafin. Musafin is from the word nosaf, addition. They were in addition to the daily sacrifices. Then we have a third Seder. Uveroshe Chodeshechem, on the new moon, Takrivu Olel Hashem, you shall also bring a burnt offering to Hashem. And the Torah lists what they are. This was a more elaborate sacrifice. This was Purim. Purim were bullocks, Benevoko, Shnaim, Ba'alechod, and a ram, and then seven kvosim, and with its appropriate meal offering, and its appropriate wine offering. Zos olas chodesh bechotchei lechotchei hashana. This is the ola of the new moon during the new moons of the year. Again, it tells us it has to be brought on the new moon of each month. If you do not bring it on the new moon of each month, then there's no way you can make it up. Ovar yumai botel kobone. For every month must be brought specifically for that month. Then, in addition, there was a chatas, a sir izim echod lechatos, a goat, which came for a sin offering. Lashem, states chatas lashem, a sin offering to Hashem. And al elas hatomid ye osev in niskay. Al elas hatomid means in addition to the daily sacrifice. This also was an additional one to the daily sacrifice. Therefore, on Rosh Chodesh, on the new moon, we brought two sets of sacrifices, the daily sacrifices and the sacrifices of the new moon. What would happen if Shabbos fell on Rosh Chodesh? Then you would bring three sets of sacrifices. You brought the daily sacrifices, the Elis Tomid. You brought the sacrifices that came for Shabbos, the Elis Shabbos. And you brought the sacrifices that came for Rosh Chodesh, the Oles Chodesh. Correspondingly, the sages enacted the Shemein Esrei. Every day we daven Yud Ches Broches, 18 Broches for Shachris and 18 Broches for Mincha. And this was correspondent to the Olas HaTomid, to the daily sacrifice, which came in the morning and in the afternoon. On Shabbos, we daven Tfilas Musaf. In other words, besides the Shemein Esrei for the morning, and besides the Shemein Esrei for Mincha, we add another Shemein Esrei, which is called Musaf, and that's correspondent to the sacrifices, the extra sacrifices that came on Shabbos, and also on the Rosh Chodesh. When Rosh Chodesh falls on a weekday, we have a Musaf. We daven a Shemein Esrei in the morning, a Shemein Esrei in the afternoon, and another Shemein Esrei in the morning, generally, or that could be daven the whole day, which is called Musaf. And that was correspondent to the sacrifices, the extra sacrifices that came on Rosh Chodesh, in addition to the daily sacrifices. What happens if Shabbos falls on Rosh Chodesh? Then we would daven Shachris, and we would daven at Tfilas Musaf, and that Musaf would make mention of both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So therefore that Musaf would incorporate the extra korbonis for Shabbos and the extra korbonis for Rosh Chodesh. The Now, the Torah carries on with the korbanos. These particular korbanos, which are dealing with the Moadim, the sacrifices that were brought at the specific times, and it carries on with Pesach, with Shavuos, with Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, and so forth. This evening, I'd like to speak a little about Rosh Chodesh and the sacrifices of Rosh Chodesh. There's a great deal to speak about Rosh Chodesh, and it's not an easy subject. But this evening we'll speak about just a little and see if we can get some further insights into this. This is the source which we quoted, that Rosh Chodesh merits extra korbanos. Whether we have a source in the Torah that we should sanctify the Chodesh, the new moon, the appearance of the new moon, and we should count from the new moon. This we have in Parshas Bo. In Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, Posuk Aleph, Vayim Hashem al Meshe ve'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Hashem said to Meshe and Aaron in Egypt, saying, Hachedish hazel lochem reish chodoshim. Rishen hu lochem lechotshi ashono. Now Rashi explains, what does it mean, Hachedish hazel lochem reish chodoshim? Most people will translate this to mean that this month shall be the first month. Rashi says that's not how the sages expounded. Hachidush Hazel Lochem refers to Chidush Hazel Lochem. The word Chodesh and the word Chidush is the same word. Chodesh is what we refer to as a month. Chidush means a renewal, something new. Hachidush Hazel Lochem. When the moon renews itself, then this shall be the beginning of your month. This shall be the beginning of the counting of your month. Rashi brings this from the Michilta. Hereo levona bechidusho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Meisha the moon when it at the moment it renews itself. And he said when the moon renews itself each time, Yelachoresh Chedesh. This should be the beginning of the counting of your month. That's one halacha, one law that we learn from here. So from here we learn that at the beginning of the renewal of the month, we must sanctify it, and what we must count from it. This is Reish Chedesh. And then there's a second halacha, a second law that we learn in this pasuk. Rishen hu lachem lechot shasho. It was speaking in Pesach time, right before Pesach, in Nisan. So Hashem said, this month should be the first of all of the 12 months. That which month is month number one, and which month should be month number two, and month number three. Nisan, this month, shall be Rishen Hu Lechot She'ashon, shall be month number one. Iyar will be month number two. Sivan will be month number three. Even though we know Rosh Hashanah as Tishrei, but we count the months from Nisan. So here we have a source in the Torah, a mitzvah in the Torah, of Reish Chedesh, to sanctify the beginning of the month, and that Nisan should be the first month. Why is this brought here? According to the simple sense would be, is because we have to count in the months in order to know when to make the Yom Tovim or to do various other mitzvahs. For example, right here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the people, Dabru el kol adash Yisrael le'mor be'oseh l'chedesh hazeh v'yuchlem ish seleh v'yisov v'seleh bois. Hashem commanded the people, saying that on the 10th of the month they should take a sheep. And this sheep should be for the Korban Pesach. So they had to know when is the 10th of the month. We didn't have any idea. We have to know when is the first of the month in order to know when is the 10th of the month. So first HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to command us to let us know when is the first of the month. And then later on he's going to tell us that on the 14th day of the month we had to bring the sacrifices of the Pesach. And on the night of the 15th of the month, that's when we must eat matzah. So therefore this tzivoy, this command was given in Mitzrayim in Egypt, right before the oncoming days of Pesach and the halachas pertaining to it. Actually, it's very interesting that this mitzvah Rashi calls the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was commanded in. In Parshas Bereishis, right at the beginning of the Sefer Torah, Rashi brings Omer Abitzchok lo yitzorach lahaskel la satere elam ha'achedish hazo lachem shi mitzvah rishenish in istabu b'Yisrael. Rashi asks, why did the Torah start with Bereishis? It should have started with Acheres Hashem Elohim, with this mitzvah, because this is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were commanded in. What he means is in their entirety. There were a few mitzvahs given before, for example, the mitzvah of Pru Avu, you should be fruitful and multiply. But that was given already, that wasn't given at that point yet to Klal Yisrael. It only was given to Yisrael later on. At that point it was given to the entire world. Later on it was interpreted for Israel. Or for example, there were other individual mitzvahs like Gid HaNosha, a certain part of the loins which were not allowed to eat, or the mitzvah of Bris Mila, but that was not given at that point yet to Israel in their entirety. This is the first mitzvah which was given to Israel in entirety. Also, evidently, Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in understanding this mitzvah. The sages asked, what does it mean, Hachedish Hazer, this Chodesh? And Rashi brings that Moshe had difficulty to understand when is the exact time when we declare the beginning of the month. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him. He showed him the month as it renewed itself. And he said, This is when you should declare it. From the new moon is when we would determine when the Yom Tovim would come. Because the Yom Tovim are, the dates given to us for the Yom Tovim are dependent on the month, on the moon. For example, like we mentioned, it states in the Torah that when should be Pesach? On the 15th of Nisan. So the Torah calculated Pesach in accordance to the counting of the moon. Shavuos is 49 days later. So again, that's hinged on the calculation of the moon. Sukkot comes on the 15th of Rosh Hashanah comes on the first day of Tishrei, it states. First day of Tishrei, so again it's a calculation with the moon. Yom Kippur states in the Torah on the 10th day of Tishrei, so again it's a calculation according to the moon. Sukkot states the 15th of Tishrei, so all of our Mayadim, all of our Yom Tovim, their dates are calculated in accordance to the cycle of the moon. Now if we go to Parshas Bereishis, where on the fourth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and this is in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Posuk Yud Dalet, Bayem Elokim, Hashem said, Yima Eris Bereki Ashamayim, let there be lights in the heavens, Lahavdil Ben Ayem Ben Aloilu, in order that we may distinguish between day and night. Behoyu, and it shall be la'eses, it shall be for signs, ulamayadim, for the yamtavim, liyomim, for days, bishonim, and for years. Then following that, it states, behoyu lema'eres b'riki ha'shamayim lahoyer ala oretz, and it should be to give light ala oretz. So we see that the lights were created, we're referring here to the two great lights. And these two great lights were the sun and the moon. We see that the lights were created lohoyer ala oretz, to give light to the earth. That's very understandable. But we see also they were created for other reasons. They should be la'asis, for signs, lemayadim, for the yamtavim, liyomim, for the days, and vishonim, for the years. So Rashi explains, la'asis, for signs. So Rashi says, Kishamairis Lakin Simanahu Lailam. Shnemar Maesis Hashemayim al Techto, Baseiskim Ritzena Kodesh Borchu in Atem Srichim Lidag Minapronius. Evidently, there are certain signs that we can determine from the sun and the moon in regards to what might happen to the world. And they were given a power to show these signs, to show the people. Although it's mentioned that Klal Yisrael doesn't have to worry about this when they fulfill the will of Hashem. So this is what it means that they were created for aces, for signs. Further, it states, Ulamad, they were created for the Yom Tovim. So Rashi explains, Hashem HaOsid. Here the Torah is referring to the future. Shasim Yisrael Itztavis HaRameyedis. Because Klal Yisrael will be commanded on the Yom Tovim. Behem Nimonim Lameyedil HaLavona. And all of the Yom Tovim are counted according, and all of the Yom Tovim are counted according to the cycle of the moon. Then it states, Then it states Luyamim, days. Days are counted. Because if we want to count how many days have gone by, so Rashi explains, if we want to know when a day has gone by, a unit of time which we refer to as a day, how do we tell? When the sun has risen and set, and the moon has risen and set, now we know that a unit of one day has gone by. So these ma'eris, these lights, they determine for us certain signs. They determine for us when the Yom Tovim should come. They determine for us when to calculate a unit of one day, when the sun has risen and set, and the moon has risen and set, a unit of one day has gone by. Ulishon. And then they also determine for us a unit of a year. What is a unit of a year? So Rashi explains, a year L'seif shin samachei yomim, the revi'i yom. After 365 and a fraction days go by, yigmeru marahachtem b'yud beiz mazolus ha'meshorsi meisom v'hishonam. Then the sun has completed a cycle throughout the 12 mazolish. There's what is known as 12 mazolish. It could be planets. But the sun has completed the solar system, the sun related to the earth and the planets, have completed one cycle. And then the chazirim ha'maskilim pam beis l'savei b'gilgul kebahal locha norisha. And then a new second cycle begins. So, when we've determined how to calculate a unit of a day, if we count 365 and a fraction of those units, then we have completed a unit which is known as a year, and a new cycle begins. And this is determined by the sun. Because why is this a unit? Because this completes the cycle of the sun. And then the Torah tells us, what are these ma'eris that we're referring to? So it states, Vayasa lekim eshnei ma'eris agdel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these two great lights. As Amora agodel l'mishalas hayom. The great light, which was for the rule over the day, and the smaller light, which was for the rule over the night, and the stars. So again, here is where at the creation of these lights, the Torah explains to us that there are for five purposes. Lohoyer ala oretz, to give light to the land, and also the Aces, to give signs, certain prophetic signs to the land, and to calculate time. What should we calculate? Moadim. We should calculate the Yom Tovim. Now the Yom Tovim are calculated by the cycle of the moon, as we explained. because certain Yom Tovim fall on the first day of the new moon. So the moon governs the time of that Yantif. For example, Rosh Hashanah, that's on the first day of Tishrei. So the cycle of the moon will govern the time of that Yantif. Or some Yom Tovim fall in the middle of the new moon. Pesach falls on the 15th of Nisan. So we will have to, again, the moon will be governing the time of that Yantif. In fact, is all of the Yom Tovim have this, their schedules are determined and have their sources in the cycle of the moon. So that's what it means, Me'adin. Yomim, we calculate a unit which is called day, a complete day, which is made up of 24, what we call 24 hours. So that's calculated by the combined cycles of the sun and the moon. When the sun rises and sets, and the moon rises and sets, then you have a unit which is called a yom, a day. And then, ulishonim, we have a further unit, a unit which is called a year. A year is made up of 365 and a fraction of those day units. And what determines that makeup? Because that's the total cycle of the sun in its orbit. And then it goes back to a second cycle. So this is the unit of the year. So when it comes to these time dimensions of a day or of a year or of a month, so this is all dependent on the Ma'eris, on the moon and on the sun. So we brought that from our Parshas Pinchas, we see that on the specific times of the year required sacrifices. Every day required a sacrifice. That was the Tobid Shel Shachar Vishel Beit Aboyim, the morning sacrifice and the afternoon sacrifice. But then there were particular days which required Musafim, additional sacrifices. They had something special in them which required, which obligated the bringing of a special sacrifice. And the Torah begins with Shabbos. That was the Korban Musa for Shabbos, in addition to the Tomid Shel Shachar, the daily sacrifice. Then the Torah goes on to Resh Chodesh. The new moon also required an additional sacrifice besides Shabbos and the daily sacrifice. Therefore, on Resh Chodesh you would bring the additional sacrifice besides the daily sacrifice. If Resh Chodesh fell on Shabbos, you would bring the additional sacrifice of Resh Chodesh and of Shabbos and the daily sacrifice. And then the Torah goes on to the other Mo'adim, the other Yom Tovim, which also obligated the bringing of a special sacrifice. And these were all called Musafim. And we mentioned that we have the corresponding tefillos, what we daven. Every day we daven Ishmein Esrei in the morning, Ishmein Esrei in the afternoon. That's your daily sacrifices. On Shabbos we add a Musaf, on Resh Chodesh we add a Musaf, and if on Yantif we add a Musaf, and if it's Shabbos and the Resh Chodesh, so then the Musaf incorporates both. Then we brought the source that we are obligated to count and from the beginning of the month and to sanctify it. And that was in Mitzrayim in Egypt, where it says, Achedish Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodesh Chodoshim, which the Mechilta says, not, what does it mean, Achodesh? Achidush Hazel. That the newness of the moon, see, the word Chodesh and Chidush is the same word. This is why it's called Chodesh. The newness of the moon shall be the beginning of your time unit, not the middle of the moon. We might think when the moon is full, that's when we should start counting. Not the middle of the moon, not the end of the moon. The new, or not by the sun alone, but the newness of the moon, that should be the beginning of your month. And from there you calculate the dates of the month. And Nisan should be the first of the month. That's month number one.
And then from there we knew the other mitzvahs, like on the 10th of Nisan to start to bring the, set aside the sheep for the lamb for the Korban Pesach, and on the 14th of Nisan, the 15th of Nisan, and so forth. And then we brought from the Parshas Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he created these lights, the two great lights, and one is a big one and one is a small one, to give light to the world, but also to calculate these times. Now, there's a further halacha, and that is that when we calculate the Yom Tovim, which we calculate according to the moon, as mentioned, we cannot calculate only according to the moon. Why? Because the Torah tells us in various places, "V'shamata esachuka hazeis lebayado." Guard carefully that the Yom Tov should come in its proper time. Or, for example, it states, "Shomor esachedish oviv." Guard carefully that the Pesach comes in its proper time. Now, besides telling us the dates of the months in which the Yom Tovim fall, that Pesach should come on the 15th of Nisan, and that Sukkah should come on the 15th of Tishrei, the Torah also linked them to an agricultural season. It states that Pesach should come the Oviv. Oviv is the time of the first crops, when the first crops started to come up. In other words, the early months of the summer. This is Oviv. Oviv comes from the word Av. And Av is a father. When is he a father? When he starts to give birth. When the earth starts to give birth, that's when Pesach must come. And on Sukkot it states, Banu Osif, the time when you gather in all of the crops that have been at the drying in the fields before the winter, before the rains come. In other words, at the end of the seasons, at the end of the agricultural season. So the Torah linked them not only to a date in the of the new moon, a date in the month, but also to an agricultural season. Now, what are the agricultural seasons dependent on? The agricultural seasons are dependent not on the moon. They are dependent on the sun. Because the agricultural seasons are caused by the heat of the sun. When the sun starts to warm, then we start to get our crops. When the sun starts to cool, then your yemesh shomim, your winter comes. So, agricultural seasons, these are what are referred to as tekufas hashemesh. They are linked to the sun. So we have somewhat of a contradiction here. If we go after the dates of the moon alone, then it will depart from the agricultural seasons that these Yom Tovim are supposed to fall in, because the cycle of the year in accordance to the sun is different than the cycle of the year in accordance to the 12 cycles of 12 moons, of 12 mazmulis. Cycle of the sun, we mention, is approximately 365 days and a fraction. The cycles of 12 months couldn't be that, because even if every month had 30 days, so that would be only 360 days. See, 12 times 30 would be 360 days, so it would be 5 days short. And every month, every cycle of each month is not 30 days. Some are only 29. So as it happens, the cycles of 12 months, which equals a year by the sun, fall short almost 11 days. That means that the cycle of the sun is 365 and a fraction days, while the cycles of the 12 moons are going to be only 355 or 354 and a fraction days. So if we would always calculate by the moon itself, in 3 or 4 years or 5 years, we're going to be a month or two off, because we're losing over 10 days every year. So we'll be a month or two behind the sun. And it'll come out eventually that Pesach can be in midsummer instead of the beginning of the summer. or Pesach can be in the winter, and Sukkot can be in the summer. So therefore we learn that we have to count from the moon, but we have to somehow adjust the time dimensions of the moon to the time dimensions of the sun. And from here the Gemara learns a second mitzvah. One mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which means that we must declare the beginning of the moon, and we must count from it. This was done when two witnesses would come to the Sanhedrin Agdela. Only the Sanhedrin Agdela, the great Sanhedrin, the full Sanhedrin could do this. They would come to the Sanhedrin Agdola and two witnesses and testify that we saw the new moon, and they would declare the beginning of the month, and from there they would count and calculate when the Yom Tovim would come. But in order to adjust the two cycles so they work hand in hand, since we're losing about 10 days, the month cycles are faster than the year cycles by almost 11 days. So we're going to have to slow it up. So approximately every 3 years, an extra month was added right before the Yontif of Pesach, an extra Adar, in order to slow up the moon's cycles, that it should not speed up ahead of the year cycles. So when we came to calculate the Yom Tovim, we calculated by the units of the month, but at the same time with an adjustment to the sun cycles. So actually we were using also both. So that was that's the second mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of what is known as Iber HaShonah, where we were Be'Aber HaShonah. Aber HaShonah meant, it comes from the word Iber, where we would make it larger. Every once in a while we would make the year larger in accordance to the moon cycles. Now incidentally, from all of this that we're speaking about, we see from here something which our sages have always taken for granted, but evidently it's a great phenomenon or a great mystery to many of the philosophers of the world. And I was very surprised when just recently I came across an article which it seems that even modern day scientists also have they seem to be somewhat vague. And that is, what is the concept of time? It seemed that there's a great discussion amongst the philosophers of old and the scientists of new as what is this concept of time that we have. We run by time. Everything runs by time. And what is this concept? See, what is time? How do you define it? What is it? And this article that I came across had all kind of ideas on what was time, and I was very, very surprised because they had all kind of ideas offered, and they seemed to be in the fog and in the dark, and they didn't say what a Chazal explicitly says. And that is, maybe because it could be, you have to believe in a creator and in a beginning and an end for this, and maybe that's why they have such difficulty. But that is that a Chazal tell us simply that time is the measurement. Time is a dimension. It's a measure. Just like you measure the weight of something or you measure the length of something, time is also a measure. What are we measuring? We are measuring the movement of the solar system, which is governed by the Maoros, which is governed by the two great lights that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. This is what time is. It is no more and no less than the measurement of the movement of the solar system, which is governed by the Shnei Maoros. And it says explicitly in the Torah. It says, V'hoya Maoros, what should the Maoros be? What should they be for? They should be Lemoadim, to calculate when the Yom Tovim come, Liyomim, to calculate the dimension of time, which is known as a day, and dimension of time, which is known as Shoni. We have further breakdowns of that, but these are subdivisions of time. So therefore, time is the measurement of a movement. And the world is in constant movement. The world does not stand still for 1 second. The only time the world stopped was when Mesha or Yeshua stopped the sun. That was the only time. But otherwise, it never ceases. And it works in perfection to the smallest microsecond. And we are counting those movements. And a day is a total cycle of the rising of the sun and the moon and the setting. And a month is a total cycle of the unit of the moon. The moon goes for approximately 15 days till it reaches its fullness. And then another approximate 15 days until it diminishes totally. We once brought in the Shia from the Maral, why 15? Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud in the Hay, and it states he created the world with the Yud in the Hay. And the sun moves the whole solar system, and it goes in a cycle from a beginning to an end, and it takes 365 days approximately for that cycle, and then it's Chazer v'Chalila, it starts at the cycle again and goes to the end. Now, but the concept of time can only be if there's a beginning and if there's a beginning or there's an end. For example, if you would measure, you want to measure the depth of water. So you say it's 100 feet, it's 200 feet. What is it? It's 100 feet from what? It's 100 feet from its beginning. It's 100 feet from the top, or it's 100 feet from the bottom. It has to be 100 feet from something. So if there's a, it must be a measurement of something that has a beginning or has an end. If you had water, you're measuring a table, so you're saying it's 6 feet. It's 6 feet what? 6 feet from one end to the other end. If you had a table or if you had water that was endless at both sides, it had no beginning and no end, so then you can't measure. What are you measuring? You're measuring it from the beginning. There's no beginning. You're measuring it this far from the end. There's no end. See, then it's immeasurable. The Torah tells us that the world had a beginning. And therefore we're measuring time from the beginning. For example, it's 5,751 years. From where? From the beginning. There has been 5,751 cycles of the sun since the world started. So it could be that if you don't believe there was a beginning, well, there's no end, then it's immeasurable, time is immeasurable. We once explained, the clock is only calculating the movement of the solar system. If everything would stop, and we would still wind up our clocks and calculate time, then it becomes a fictional time. It's an artificial time, see, because it's not calculating anything. So this is, from all of this, we see clearly what the dimension of time is. Israel is unique because generally most of the nations counted by the sun. There are some nations of the world that count by the moon. But Israel were unique that they were commanded to count by the moon but adjusted to the sun. The Chazal tell us, which we'll bring a little more in a few minutes, that especially Edom, who is the fourth Malchus and the most powerful Malchus that is to rule the world, and that was from Esav, and that's from Rome, which the Roman Empire, the Chazal tell us they went totally in accordance to the sun. And the modern calendar of the Western culture is a solar calendar. It's not a lunar calendar, it's a solar calendar. And this calendar, the Roman calendar. But Klal Yisrael were unique in which they counted also by the moon. Now there's an interesting Gemara. Gemara brings in Perek Elu Treifus. And Daf Samach Amud Beis. Mm-hmm. mentioned that the sacrifice, the korban for this Kodesh, was the Ola, the burnt offerings. Except it was more elaborate than the others. It had the bullocks and it had many sheep. But in addition, it had a chatas, a sin offering. And many of the Yom Tevim, the other Yom Tevim also had chatas, a sin offering. I think it more explains why, what was their purpose. But on all of the other ones, it merely states, here lechatas, that you should bring a goat for a chatas. Here in the parsha of the Chodesh, it states, you shall bring a seer, a chatas lashem. You shall bring a goat, which shall be a chatas, a sin offering for Hashem. It adds the word Hashem. So the Gemara says as follows. Reb Shimon ben Pazi Romik Siv. Reb Shimon ben Pazi asked a contradiction in the psukim. Vayasel akim eshneam eiris agdeilim. See, in the Parshas of Bereshis, it states that Hashem made the two great lights. Evidently, when he said, Vayhi or, let there be light, what took place? Two lights came out. When he said in the beginning of the creation of the world, Vayhi or, let there be light, two lights came out. And what were the lights? These were the lights. Vayasel akim eshneam eiris. Then, further it states, Uksi vesamora godol vesamora kodem. Right afterwards, it says he made the Mora Godel, the great light, the Memshalas Hayom, to rule over the day, Vesamora Kotein, the Memshalas Haloila. And he made the smaller light to rule over the night. So he's asking a question. Hashem said, let there be light. And from there, two great lights came out. So why all of a sudden was one a great light and one was a small light, one a major light and one a minor light? They should be equal. This is his question. So he explains, Omro Yerech Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moon came to Hashem. And they were both created of equal strength. Ribeinu Shel Olam, he said, creator of the world, master of the world, Efshir Lishnei Malochim Shishtamshi Bekeser Echot. Is it possible that two kings should serve with one crown? They were kings. They ruled. They ruled the universe. It was through them that the whole unity and movement of the solar system existed. So the moon came, and she said, is it possible that two kings shall serve with one crown? Omar lo, so the Almighty said, you're right. L'chi u'me'ati es atzmech. Go and make yourself smaller. This is what the Almighty answered the moon. Go and make yourself smaller. So the moon was very upset with that. Omer lefonav, she said to him, Ribeinu Shel Olam, master of the world, Mipnei shamati lefonecha davar hogun amit es atzmi, because I said something which is right, so now you tell me to make myself smaller. Omer lo, so the Almighty said, Lechi u'mishel b'yema b'layla. He saw that he had to appease the moon, because the moon was very upset that he had commanded the moon to become smaller. So therefore he said to the moon, all right, I'll give you an appeasement. You will rule over both the day and the night. Now the sun is only during the day. There's no sun whatsoever at night. But the moon is in existence not only at night, but in the day also. We cannot see it in the day, but it's there. Proof of the pudding, many times you'll see it during the day. But you'll never see the sun at night. It's impossible that you should ever see the sun at night. The sun is not there at night. But many times we'll see the moon and during the day. Because the moon is there during the day and the night. So he said, I'll appease you. I'll give you a memshola. I'll give you a sovereignty that the sun won't have. The sun's power is only during the day, and yours will be during the day and the night. Omrulay, the moon wasn't satisfied. Mayravusa, in other words, what's the big deal? Shargabatira mayhani. Light, a light in the daytime, what good is it? In the nighttime, a light is something. But in the daytime, what good is it? So you'll give me the day also, but nobody will see me. So he wasn't satisfied. Omalo, so the Hashem said to her, Zil limne boch Yisrael yomim v'shonim. I'll give you something else to appease you. Yisrael will count by you the days and the years. They will count by you. Now, he says, I'm not at peace with that either, because that's not something which is exclusive to me. The human army, the sun also, they're going to have to use to count tikuvosei. Like it says explicitly in the Torah, that they're going to use not only the moon, but they're going to use the sun also. Otherwise, the seasons will become all out of order. So, Hashem had to find another appeasement for the moon. So he said, all right, zil dikre tzadiki bishmech. The tzadikim, the righteous, will be called by your name. Why? Because it states Yaakov HaKotan in Nach, in the Tanakh, and Amos, Yaakov is referred to the Ochiv HaKotan. And the moon is referred to the Mor HaKotan, the small light, and Yaakov is referred to the small sun. Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel is referred to as the Kotan. David HaKotan. When Shmuel went to anoint David, so he looked for all the brothers, he started at the older one, and finally ended up with the smallest one. Dovra Kotten. So we see the tzaddikim are called Kotten. They're referred to as the smaller ones. And that's because you're called Mora Kotten, the smaller light. Still he wasn't satisfied. Chazi de leko meyas v'daito. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw the moon was not happy. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, heviu kapora alai, shemi'arti yasa yoreach. All right. He says, bring a kapora for me. Now the simple meaning of kapora would mean an atonement. Bring an atonement for me, because I have made the moon small, and I upset him, or her, I upset her. Behind it, Omar Shimon Lakish, and that's what Shimon Lakish says: Manishtal Sir Shalishkeli Shemem Be'el Hashem. Why, by the sacrifice, the sin offering of the Reish Chodesh, does it say you should bring it Lashem, for Hashem? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Sirze Yehi Kapora Al Shemi'arati Yasi Yoreach, because the sin offering is coming for me, because I made the moon small. Now this is from the difficult stories in the Chazal, where they all ask what was going on here. If Kodesh Baruch Hu created two that were supposed to be big, so then why did he minimize one? And why the moon? The moon told them that you can't, two kings can't serve with the same crown. So why did he minimize the moon and not the sun? And then he kept trying to appease the moon with all of these various things. He tried to appease the moon by telling him that he'll rule during the day and the night, and that Yisrael will count by him, and that the tzaddikim are called by him. And he wasn't satisfied. Finally he said, all right, bring a kapora for me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a kapora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs atonement. So he said, this is from the difficult mamorim, the difficult statements and stories in Chazal to understand. But the Goraye on this parasha goes into this at length. But let us just extract one or two principles from what the Goraye says. And perhaps we'll have a little better insight. The sun has two strong points over the moon. Firstly, it's larger. The sun is a big light, and the moon is a small light. Secondly, the sun's light is tomid. The sun's light is consistent. While the moon's light is a diminishing light, to the point where it gets smaller and smaller till it becomes diminished in totality. There's a time when the moon's light is non-existent. See, it's not that the moon becomes smaller and smaller and then it grows bigger and bigger. No. The moon becomes smaller and smaller and disappears. And then, and this is why it's called a chidush, then it reappears from nothing. So it's not that it reaches a high point and it gets less and less, and then it grows bigger again. Now it reaches a high point, it gets less and less and less until it disappears. And then there's the Chidush Alavona, where it reappears. So the sun seemingly has two strong points over the moon. And that is, it's a much greater light, while the moon is a smaller light. And secondly, its light is consistent to the point where it's never extinguished. The sun is never extinguished. But the moon, consistently, every month, its light is extinguished. Now, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, both of these points, when he said, L'chi u'me'ati yasatzmecho. Go and make yourself smaller. He says, two kings cannot rule at the same time. So he said, go and make yourself smaller. Firstly, he will be the big light, you will be the small light. But it's still two kings. Now, his kingship will show its exclusive sovereignty, because there'll be a time when you'll be totally disappeared, you're totally extinguished, and then he rules alone. See, so that will show his exclusive sovereignty. You have two kings sitting next to each other. It's not nice. It's not nice for two kings sitting next to each other. Why? Because one diminishes the power of the other, because the king is supposed to be the ruler. And the ruler has to be one. Because if he's got another one that's ruling, that's a committee. That's not a king. See? That's a committee. That's a congress. That's a government. That's not a king. A ruler has to be one. That's why the morale says, that's why it states, because they'll tell us, what is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim? Where do we declare the kingship of Hashem? In the Shema Yisrael. See, that's a good question. Where in the Shema Yisrael does it speak about the kingship of Hashem? It says, Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, we declare the kingship of Hashem in Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echot. Where does it say he's the Melech, he's the king? He said, because you're saying he's one. He's the only one. He's the one on top. See? That's the king. The king is the one on top. So when you say Hashem is one, then you're declaring his kingship. But once someone is sharing power, once there's power sharing, you're sharing something with someone else, then there's no king. There's no king. You have a committee. You have a committee, you have a parliament, you have a government. So you have everything else, but you don't have a king. That's why it's not good for two kings, it's not nice for two kings to sit next to each other. Because a king is supposed to be the supreme ruler. If there's two supreme rulers, there's no supreme ruler. That's what it means, Ein Shnei Malochim Mishtam Shemekeser Echot. The crown is the supreme ruler. If two are sharing the crown, there's no supreme ruler. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, alright, I'll fix that. Not only will I make you smaller, but I'll make it where every month the sun will rule alone. Because your light will be extinguished and his light will still be there. And then we'll see that he's the supreme ruler. Okay? Alright. So this is one point. That in two ways the sun became stronger than the moon. And this is what Hashem said, Miyato Asatzme. Go and make yourself smaller. Now, the sun was very upset. The moon was very upset with this. He says, you've dethroned me. Now we asked the question. We said, and he asked the question. He said, just because I came up with a good suggestion, so therefore, you dethrone me. What the moon didn't understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't doing this to the moon. He wasn't doing this to the moon because he wanted to throw him down. He wanted to demote him from his greatness. Now, he was doing this litivusa. He was doing this for the good of the moon, not for the bad of the moon. And that's what the moon didn't understand. So when he got very upset, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. He says, your appeasement is, you must realize that Klal Yisrael will count by you. They won't count like the nations of the world or like Edom in accordance to the sun. They'll count mainly in accordance to you. And he didn't understand what was meant by that. He says, oh, they'll count by the sun also. So then he said, you see that the tzaddikim are called by you. Yaakov was the, it states that Esav was the Ochiv HaGodol. Esav was the great brother, but Yaakov was the small one. Shmuel was the small one. David was the small one. And he still didn't understand. So he didn't understand what does that have to do with it. Now, why is the, do we find that the tzaddikim are called the cotton? Why aren't they the Godel? And why do we find that Israel is exceptional amongst all of the nations that are count by the moon and not by the sun alone, like the other nations? It would be better to count by the sun. The sun is the great light, the powerful light. According to the first level, which Hashem told the moon to make himself smaller, we find that actually, you see, the Western culture has a great logo, which motivates everything. The bigger, the better. See, that's the logo of the Western culture. And that motivates everything. The bigger, the better. The more volume, the better. And that's why we have difficulty understanding this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the moon what he wanted to tell him, the smaller the better, not the bigger the better, the smaller the better. Bigness is a shortcoming. Smallness is a greatness, is a mila. When he told the moon to make yourself smaller, he was telling him, make yourself greater. The smallness the better. Let him be the more agodl, you'll be the more akotn. In other words, he was saying, yeah, you're right what you're saying. So I'll make you greater. Lech miyatos atzmech. Make yourself smaller. The moon didn't understand that. He thought the bigger the better. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll prove to you the smaller the better. Who does Klal Yisrael? Who is the greatest nation in the world? Yisrael. Who do they count by? They count by you. He still didn't understand that. So he said, all right, I'll prove further. Look at the tzaddikim. Who was it? Esav was the Ach HaGodol, and Yaakov was the Ach HaKotan. Shmuel was the Kotan. David was the smallest of all of the brothers. There were seven brothers. David was the smallest. He still didn't understand. Now why is it that way? So there's two reasons. We're speaking of perfection here. Klal Yisrael is the perfect of all of the nations. The tzaddikim, tzaddik means perfect. Perfection always represents that which is exactly in the middle. Perfect means not to the right, not to the left, not too high, not too low, but perfect. What is the dimension of the center? The dimension of the center has no dimension whatsoever. The exact center of anything has no dimension. If you want to measure the height of something, the width of something, the thickness of something, you can measure it. But if you want to measure the central point, there is no dimension. Because you can keep dividing and dividing and dividing. And the more you divide, the more central you get. The more central it becomes. Therefore, and perfection is exactly in the middle. Anything that is starting to go to an extreme to the right or to the left or too high or too left, that's a yitzir, that's a deviation from perfection. So perfection is the midpoint. The midpoint, how wide or how thick is the midpoint? There's no thickness or width to it. Because every time you subdivide it, you're getting a more purer, a more exact midpoint. Until you can subdivide it and subdivide it. The world to come, Elam Abo, is for that reason it states was created with a yud. This world was created with a hay. A hay has dimensions. A hay is a perpendicular line and a rectangular line, which represents dimensions. Because this world is a physical world with dimensions. The world to come is a perfect world. And therefore it's created with a yud, because a yud basically is a nakuda dat. And a dat has no dimensions. Why? Because if you'll cut a dat in half, you'll still have it. If you'll cut it 1,000 times, you'll still have a dat. So there's no dimension. Therefore, when we look for perfection, we don't say the bigger the better, the smaller the better. When we look for perfection, we don't look for volume. If there would be Michelangelo would create one of his masterpieces and he'd bring it to a entrepreneur of the Western culture, he would say immediately, can we mass produce 50,000 copies of this? He couldn't understand. Michelangelo was very happy that there was one, and he wants 50,000 or 100,000 copies. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them on. He says, make yourself perfect. The sound will be big, but you will have perfection. Make yourself perfect. Another reason. We are using the sun and the moon to calculate with. Right? They are our calculators. Our calculators of the movement of the entire world of time. What can you calculate better with? A large measure or a small measure? What is a greater calculator? For example, if you have a stick, you measure off a stick, which is a meter, and you use that to measure with. Or if you measure off a smaller stick, which is a centimeter, and you use that as a measure. Or you measure off even a smaller stick that's a millimeter, and you use that as a measure. Or if you take a weight which weighs a ton, you take another weight that weighs a pound, another weight that weighs an ounce, what's a more exact measure? With a big measure, you can only measure big things. But if you wanted to calculate very small things, what would a stick a meter do for you? What would a piece of iron which is a ton do for you? If you want to measure very small things. This we know today. So therefore, when it comes to measuring, the smaller the calculator, the smaller the measure, the more exact and perfect it is. The sun's measure is a bigger measure than the moon's measure. The sun's measure is a measure which measures a cycle which is 365 days. While the moon's measure is a measure which measures something which is only 29 or 30 days. So their katnus is a mila. See, katnus is an advantage, not a disadvantage. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the moon. He said, you're right, there has to be a more supreme ruler. So make yourself smaller and you will be the supreme ruler. The sun didn't understand, the moon didn't understand that. So the moon said, Hashem said, what do you mean you don't understand it? According to Klal Yisrael is going to count by you. Klal Yisrael needs a more perfect calculator than the nations of the world because they are more exact. They seek more perfection. But he didn't understand it. So he says, look at the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are called cotton because their level of perfection far exceeds the perfection. Take today. Today, when they made calculators, or they made what's it called, the machines that we use today, computers. In the old days, when they didn't have that, so they didn't have to talk about millions of fractions of seconds, say, or microseconds. But today they have to speak of that. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the moon. That's why he made the moon smaller than the sun. Now we said that he made not only the moon smaller than the sun, but he made the moon where it becomes totally extinguished, while the sun's light is always constant. That was for an additional reason. He says, I'll give you another mila. I'll give you another advantage. What's the advantage of becoming totally extinguished? The advantage of becoming totally extinguished is because then there's a chidush, there's a renewal. The sun can never renew itself. The sun can never renew itself from a total non-existence because it's never non-existent. Well, the moon has the power of renewal. This is why the moon is, this is why the month is called Chodesh. Chodesh is from the word Chidush. Like we said, HaChodesh HaZeh, the Mechilta says, what does it mean, HaChodesh HaZeh? HaChidush HaZeh. The moon has power of renewal. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the moon. The sun has no power of renewal. It can never renew itself because it's never in a stage of non-existence. So he gave the moon a state of non-existence, and from here it has a power of constant renewal. Every month it goes and becomes smaller and smaller until it's non-existent, and then it renews itself from nothing. Now, what does that mean? That means that there is new light, an Or Chodosh, new light that comes to the earth every month. See, a new light that didn't exist before. This new light represents new energies from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. The sun, its light is constant. The moon brings new lights to the world that didn't exist before, from a total darkness. And this represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's new influence every month into the world. This represents his new chesed, new goodness. So this is what he told the moon. He says, what are you so upset for? I made you smaller for a mile. And this brings the world to a higher level, because there is new injections of energy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, new injections of sanctity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that didn't exist before, every month. So he says, this is why Yisrael counts by you. This is why the tzaddikim are called by you. Again, though, the moon couldn't understand it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right. He said, Hevi kapor alai. Bring, on Rosh Chodesh, bring a sacrifice. And it'll be a sacrifice for me to appease the moon. What did he mean? Not that Hashem sinned. Hashem didn't sin. First of all, well, it's not possible for Hashem to sin. But secondly, he didn't sin. He did exactly what he wanted to do, and he wanted to keep it that way. He made the moon greater. He said that the moon didn't understand, so he says, this way I will show the moon, this way the moon will understand. He says, when do you bring a Korban Musaf? When do you bring an additional sacrifice? Only when there's additional sanctity that comes to the world. Every day we bring one sacrifice, but that's not the musafing. That's not the additional sacrifices. When do we bring additional sacrifices? On Shabbos, on Pesach, on Sukkot, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. Why? Because on a Yantif, there are additional powers and energies of Kedusha that are being injected into the world. So, to celebrate and to declare this Kedusha, we bring special sacrifices. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if I command Yisrael to bring a special sacrifice on the new moon, then the new moon will understand what it's about. See? Then he'll understand that this that I made him minimize himself, and now he goes totally black, and when he renews his light, Klal Yisrael brings a sacrifice. So then he will realize that this was a brocha. See, this was a brocha that I told him to minimize himself. We don't find that we bring sacrifices in regards to the sun. We don't bring sacrifices in regards to the sun. Even when we bring sacrifices every day, so we bring one in the morning, but that's not because the sun is rising, because we bring one in the afternoon also when the sun is setting. So we don't find that we bring sacrifices for the renewal of the light of the sun, because it's not a renewal, but we do on the moon. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, I'll command Klal Yisrael to bring a Korban on Rosh Chodesh, and that's what it states, Heviu Kapora Alai, bring the Korban for my sake, should be Adati Asayoria, because I made the moon become smaller. Now he'll understand why he became smaller. That's why it states, Lashem, Seir Lashem. This Seir, this goat, should be for my sake, in order that he should understand what I did to him. This Kedusha that comes into the world every Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we declare it and we celebrate it, and we bring a korban. This Kedusha, though, is not so easy to comprehend. It's not so easy to comprehend. If anybody will look at the sun, and they look at the moon, oh, it's true. The moon at night is very beautiful. Especially if you're out. Today we have streetlights. But if you're out in the country, there's no streetlights, and there's a moonless night, or a night with moon, you'll see the difference. Oh, it is very beautiful. But compared to the sun, this poets say the moon is very romantic, but still compared to the sun, it's still a morakoten. See, it's a very small light. So therefore, this kedusha, the sanctity, is very difficult to comprehend. The reason why it's very difficult to comprehend is because it's this world. See, in this world, because in this world, this is the world of Esav. And Esav was called Edom. And the Chazal tell us, the Medrash says, why was he called Edom? Because he gets his keach from the sun. And the sun is red. It says that the material that the sun is made from is red. And that's why Esav was called Edom. And it states his food was Edom. And he dresses in red clothing. This is Esav. And he's the Acha Godel. Yaakov was the Achakotten. And Yaakov was from the Lavona. Actually, Lavona comes from the word Lavon, white. The reason why the sanctity that comes from the Chidush HaLavona, from the newness of the moon, is difficult to comprehend in this world is because of the sun. Just like the sanctity of Yaakov is difficult to comprehend in this world, because this is the world of Esav. It's for that reason that Rosh Chodesh is not a total yantif. The Gemara says we don't say halal on Rosh Chodesh. We do say halal. The Gemara says no. Not supposed to say. This that we do, the Gemara says that's a minig. That's a custom. That's why we don't say a total halal. See, we skip parts of it. And there are even, it's a question, the halacha, whether you make a brocha. There are those who hold you should make a brocha. We do. But there are others that hold you didn't make a brocha. It's not from the dates that we're obligated to say halal. If it were, we would say a total halal. See, this was a minig. So what does it mean? It is a yantif, but it's very difficult to comprehend. It states la'osid lovoi, after the Mashiach will come, then it'll be a great yantif. See why? Because the mora koton, a smaller light, is still very small against the big light. When the Mashiach will come and Esav will be destroyed, well, then we'll see the light of Yaakov. But the sacrifices we brought, it's brought also that women have a greater comprehension and a greater understanding in the light of the renewal of the light that comes to the earth every month than men. And this was a reward given to them. Because at the time of the Egel Azova, the golden calf, the men helped to build the golden calf, and the women refused to participate. So therefore they were given a reward, where they were able to comprehend the simcha and the sanctity of the new moon, even before the days of the Mashiach, even in the time of Esav, when the men are not. What does one thing have to do with the other? Because that was Avodah Zarah, that was idolatry. And idolatry extinguishes the light of Kedusha. So because of idolatry in the world, and Esav of the world, in the world we have difficulty to comprehend this light. But the women that refused to participate in that, so then it wasn't overwhelmed so much by that light. Therefore they can comprehend it. And on Rosh Chodesh we say a tefillah. The tefillah is Chuas Nafshom Miyat Seide. This is what we say in the Shemayin Esrei. Chuas nafshom miyat seinei, that the Reish Chedesh should save us from the hands of the Sone, from the hands of the hated one. Now the hated one, it could refer to Esav. it also refers to the Yetzer Hara
and the Satan. And the Gemara tells us the power of the Satan, the power of the Yetzer Hara, the power of the Malach HaBavos, the angel of death, this is all one power. This all comes from a total abyss, a total voidness, a total darkness. And Reish Kodesh represents when a new or a new light comes to the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu every month. So therefore this is why we are mispalel that on that, at the beginning of each month, when this new light comes, and it's a new light of Kedusha, it should save us from the Seine, which is represented by the lack of any Kedusha, or the darkness, the idolatry, the Esav. But at any rate, this world, though, is the world of the sun, physical world, and it's the world of Esav. But the higher world, that's the world of Yaakov and David HaMelech, the cotton, and that's the moon. So it's difficult to comprehend, but nevertheless it's there. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that on Reish Chodesh we must bring these sacrifices to which come because of this additional Kedusha sanctity that comes into the world at that time. And that's because of the renewal of the lights which shine on the earth from the moon. So this gives us somewhat of an explanation in this story with the moon and the sun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and some insights into the Reish Chodesh and the sacrifices that come for Reish Chodesh.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.